We are going to read out of John 10, 1 through 5 and 27. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The word of God for us.
How you guys doing? Good. I like that. Energy. I could tell in worship you guys are fired up, feisty. I like it. It makes the day go by much better, okay? It makes the next 45 minutes or so a more enjoyable experience for you and for me whenever you're engaged, whenever you're talking back. I like it. So I'm curious if you have ever had a hard time hearing God's voice. If you've ever struggled to discern whether or not the thoughts that you're having are God speaking to you, or if that's just your own thoughts. Maybe there's been a time whenever you've had a major decision facing you. And so, you know, whether it's to take this job or to enter into this relationship or go to this school or whatever. And so you do the proper Christian thing. And so you're like, you know, this is a big decision. I should probably take it to God in prayer. And so you go and you pray about it. And then whenever you're praying about it and you're asking God his take on the situation, a thought comes into your mind. And then you find yourself wondering, okay, is this God speaking to me? Or is this the caffeine talking? And I don't know about you, but for me, like, Jesus and coffee seem to be a great pair, okay? Like, I hear the Lord whenever I'm caffeinated. And so you're wondering, sorry, there's several jokes there. You find yourself wondering if what you're hearing, what you're thinking, if it actually is God, if it's your own thoughts, and you find yourself having difficulty discerning that. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, is how to hear God speaking to us, how to discern whether or not it's the Lord or our own thoughts and these different things. And whenever you hear that, whenever you hear that we're going to be focusing on hearing God, depending on where you're coming from, that's going to land differently with you. Maybe for you, that is an active part of your life, that hearing God, communicating with God, him communicating back to you is just part of your everyday. It's an active part of your life in Christ. Maybe for you, it's not necessarily an active part as much as it is maybe a neglected part or a forgotten part, where there's been seasons in your life, stages in your walk with God, where it seems like God is just speaking to you frequently and clearly. And then now that you think about it and you have someone ask you the question about, or you hear the topic that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, you start to think, huh, when was the last time I could say I heard God speak to me? You know, it's something that has been part of your life, but recently, or maybe not so recently, it's kind of fallen prey to all of the other things that life throws at us that call for our attention. And so the thought, the concept, the practice of hearing God has just kind of taken a back seat to those things. Maybe that's you. Or maybe for you, whenever you hear this, for you, it's a little terrifying because you've tried that before. Like you've stepped out, you've taken a risk on what you thought was God speaking to you, and it played out very differently than what you expected. Or maybe you were hurt by somebody who came and said, hey, I'm speaking to you on behalf of God. And then what they said was actually more damaging than it was helpful. And so maybe for you, it's something that's scary. Or maybe for you, you just think we're crazy. And that's fine. If that's you, if you think that, you know, we're crazy to think that God, the creator of the universe, would speak to us, I get it. That does sound crazy. But I think that he does. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Hearing God is, you know, hearing God in his word and in his whisper is one of the most important things you will ever do in your life. That may sound like hyperbole. That may sound like an exaggeration or just preacher talk. Like, really? Out of all the things, hearing God is one of the most, if not the most important thing. That sounds a bit stretched. But if you know just how valuable God's word is, that makes sense. God's word is incredibly valuable. The psalmist in Psalm 19, he begins talking about the ways that God speaks to us. And he starts it out with talking about how creation itself declares the glory of God and how even in creation, God can speak to us. And he goes on from there to talk about God's instructions and his commands and his decrees and all of these different ways that God speaks to us. And then he says this in verse 10. He says, the words of God, they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. And so here the writer is trying to take the most valuable thing on planet Earth that he can imagine. And he's saying, whatever you think the most valuable thing is, picture that. And then what I'm going to tell you is God's word is to be desired even more than that. So my question to you is, do you agree with that? Are there parts of your life that it's like, yeah, that makes sense in my head, but whenever I look at how my actual day plays out, would I consider, like, if you were to take a look at my life, does God's word scream, or is it apparent that that is the most valuable thing? And there are days, and I don't know if it's okay for me to say this, I don't know if it makes you uncomfortable or not, but there are days when I would not line up with that. In the sense of, if you were to take a snapshot of that day, what would seem most important are the projects that I have going on or whatever. So there's room for all of us to grow here. There may be things that you know to be true in your head, but when you take a look at your life, not every day lines up to that truth. And so that's what we're after. So he takes the most valuable thing and says that God's word is even more valuable than that. And then he takes the sweetest thing that he can think of and says that, God's word is even sweeter than that. God's word is so valuable. Jesus in Matthew 4:4 says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's something about God's word that is vital to a full and rich, satisfying life. I share all of that to say this. Hearing God is obviously important. Okay? Hearing God is important. If it's so important, why is it so difficult? Have you ever wondered that? Like, if this thing is so important, why is it so difficult? The first thing you need to know is communication is difficult, period. Like, if you can grasp that, You're making good progress on your way to understanding how to hear God's voice. Whenever we understand that communication is hard, no matter who it's with, like, how many books have been written about improving your communication in your relationships? How many books have been written? How many seminars, how many conferences are given on how to be more effective in your communication in the workplace? Communication is difficult. So my wife and I, we're at the stage in our marriage where we stop guessing what the other person wants as a gift, and we're just asking, like, hey, let me know what you want. I don't know if anyone else is there. Maybe you're still in the, like, spontaneity is great, and I'm just going to surprise them with whatever I think is going to be great. That's awesome. But after a few where it's like, hey, surprise, isn't this awesome? You love this, right? And it's like, hey, did you keep the receipt? You know, like, You have enough of those. You have enough of those, and then you learn, you know what? I'm just going to ask your take on this before I buy it, all right? So this past anniversary, I have not yet forgotten an anniversary or birthday, but, well, listen, there's still time left on the clock, okay? There's still plenty of opportunities ahead of me, but, so I knew it was coming, had it on my radar, so I started asking, like, hey, you know, just let me know what you want. I need to know what you want so that I can buy it. And then as like the time window started getting tighter and tighter, we come to a critical point whenever we reach the threshold of Amazon two-day shipping. Once we cross that threshold, my options are very limited. So, you know, I was just kind of keeping it vague, loose. Hey, just let me know what you want. And then when we started getting into the critical time, I'm like, okay, listen, what do you want? Like, I need you to tell me. And she said, I did tell you. Wait for it. Four times. Yeah. You feel that, right? I felt it. Now, none of those four times were as clear and obvious as stop what you're doing. I'm about to tell you what I want you to buy for me, and you need to buy it right now before you forget later on. Like, none of it was that clear or that spelled out. It may have been pretty close. It may have been magazine in front of my face with items circled saying, hey, these seem like they would be nice to have one day. You know, it may have, maybe, have been that clear. But it wasn't as obvious and clear as stop what you're doing, pay attention to me, I'm about to tell you what you need to know, and you need to take action on it now, because you will forget. Like, it wasn't that clear, but it was still pretty darn clear. And I still missed it. Like, every day, there are opportunities to miscommunicate. There are opportunities for one person to say one thing and another person to hear something else. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you have said something to someone that you're thinking, I cannot put this any clearer for you. And then you walk away from the conversation and you realize their understanding of what you said was completely different than what you intended. This happens all the time. And this happens with people that are right in front of us, physically, that we can hear with these ears and that we can see with these eyes. And yet we have such a challenge communicating with each other that we can see. How much harder can it be to effectively communicate with a God that we can't see? Like, if my own wife is saying something to me that clearly, I mean, that's pretty obvious, you know, magazine in front of your face, you should get the hint, okay? That obvious, and I miss it. How many times is God trying to say something to me that for whatever reason, because I'm distracted, because I have something else going on, because I have noise in my ears, whatever, he's trying to say something to me and I miss it. This happens all the time. And it may seem like it's a, depending on where you're at with communication, like this may seem like a tall task. Like if it's this hard to communicate with people that we can't see, like even the person on this planet who is the closest to me, I still have a hard time communicating with. Is there any hope for us to effectively communicate with God? And Jesus says, not only is there hope, but he says, he gives us the promise that my sheep, he says, my sheep hear my voice. It may seem difficult, but Jesus gives us this promise that it is possible. Hearing God starts with an understanding of our identity. Because when it comes to hearing God, it's who you are, not something you do. Hearing God comes from who you are, not something you do. You and I are a sheep, okay? I know, I hate to break it to you, okay? Some of you are probably pushing back on that, like, I ain't no sheep. I'm a sheep dog, you know? And I get it. I get it. Like, you guys are awesome. But when Jesus gives the analogy here, he's not like, hey, I'm the shepherd. Some of you are these sheep, but then I got some other awesome people, that are sheepdogs. Okay, no, he doesn't say that. He says, I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep. But he says this, my sheep hear my voice. So we're going to look at three things that sheep do, of whom you and I are included. So, three things about sheep. First thing, sheep hear. Verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. He doesn't say, my sheep might be able to hear my voice. My sheep, if they try really hard, can eventually get to the level where they can hear my voice. No, he says, my sheep hear my voice, full stop. Because hearing his voice is, it's part of our identity. As a sheep, that's what we do. Like fish swim, dogs bark, sheep hear their shepherd's voice. This is what we do. It's part of our birthright and our new identity, the new birth that we experience whenever we surrender our life to Jesus. Part of what comes with that is the ability to hear God. And it's for everyone. It's for everyone. So oftentimes whenever I'm leading a small group of people, whether it's a life group or whatever, I'll open up with some icebreakers. One of my go-to icebreaker questions is, what's something about you that most of the people in this circle right now don't know about you? Okay? One of my go-to answers for that question that I'm going to have to change after I say it publicly is, I grew up as a cowboy, country kid, not quite redneck per se, but country. I mean, there was definitely some redneck in there too. But I mean, I grew up in the, and it's not because I grew up in the 90s, which was the pinnacle of country music. I had the Wrangler jeans and boots, the Wranglers that were so starched that you couldn't put them on a hanger because they wouldn't fold. You just kind of leaned them up against the wall. And if you weren't careful, you could actually stub your toe putting the pants on. Like, starched Wranglers, you know, we had my dad's side of the family were farmers by trade, so grew up working cattle and animals and all that. And so one of the things that I did before I was big enough to show cattle is I showed sheep. You know what I mean by show sheep? Okay, so, all right. So I showed sheep. I am no sheep expert, but I can tell you this, based on my limited young experience, is that sheep aren't really that impressive. Like, a sheep is just kind of a sheep. You know, it's not like other animals like dogs where you have like an awesome dog and then kind of a lame dog. Like, sheep are just kind of sheep. And if I were to take the grand champion sheep of Texas and put it up here, and then just take a sheep that I found down the road, and I said, look at these two sheep. You'd be like, yeah, like they're sheep. You're not going to be like, oh my gosh, look at that one. Like, that's a stud. You know, you're just going to be like, yeah, okay, cool, it's sheep. Being called a sheep levels the playing field. Because Jesus doesn't say, hey, the super spiritual ones, they're the ones who hear my voice. That's how a lot of people think when, that's how a lot of people view hearing God, that it's for the super Christians. It's for the really impressive ones. Like, hearing God is for the pastor. The pastor hears God and tells us what God says. Or hearing God is for the super prophetic person in my life group, because you always have the super prophetic person in your life group. It's her job to hear God and then tell us all what God's saying. That's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say the super Christians will hear my voice. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. It's something that levels the playing field, that regardless of what your giftings are, you know, it's not just limited. Jesus doesn't say, hey, my apostles will hear my voice, my prophets will hear my voice, my teachers. Like, he doesn't say that. My sheep hear my voice. So if you're a sheep, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, guess what? You hear his voice. It's not something that's just for certain super spiritual people. It's for everybody that follows Jesus. So sheep hear. The second thing sheep do is sheep are known. Verses 3 and 4 of John 10. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Sheep are known. God is an incredibly powerful God. With just his words, he created the cosmos, and galaxies were formed, and all of that. But not only is God powerful, he's also personal. God is a personal God. He knows your name. We see this throughout Scripture of God being not just powerful, but also personal. We see it with Adam and Eve. God forms creation with just his words. Light comes into existence. Galaxies are formed. The earth is made. Animals, creation, all of this is made with just his words. And then he takes out of the dust of the earth and forms man. Breathes his life into man. And Adam and Eve are in relationship with God. They're walking with God, talking with God. God is personal. And then as Adam and Eve are walking with God, talking with God, one day another voice enters in. And the voice of this stranger comes, and what's the first thing that this voice challenges? Did God really say? The first words that we hear from this stranger are words that are challenging the word of God. Did God really say? And so Adam and Eve give in to the temptation. They sin. They determine, you know what? We are more capable of determining right and wrong on our terms than submitting ourselves to God. So they sin. But even though they sin, God doesn't stop talking to them. See, a lot of people think that because of their sin, because of their mistakes, because of how far they feel from God, that because of all of that, they can't hear God because God doesn't want to talk to them. But what do we see in the story of Adam and Eve? Though they sin, God shows up, and what does he say? He doesn't say, "How dare you?" He says, "Where are you?" Why? Because he's a personal God. And just because you've sinned, just because you've fallen short, just because you feel far from God, that doesn't disqualify you from hearing God's voice. God still comes to us and talks to us because guess what? If perfection was the standard for hearing God, we would all be out of that deal. You know what I mean? Like none of us meet that standard. But yet, even though sin had entered the equation, God still talked. God didn't stop talking when sin entered the equation. We just stopped listening. Our hearts became hardened towards God. Adam and Eve tried to create distance between them and God. So it wasn't that he stopped talking, it was that we stopped listening. The God of the universe knows your name. That's phenomenal. Why does he know your name? Because he's a personal God who desires personal relationship with you. If God is so personal, then why wouldn't he speak to us? Like if God were such a personal God, why would he not communicate with us? And God isn't just interested in communicating with people through mass communication, but through one-on-one conversations. He's willing to stop for the one. He knows your name. And we know his voice. The third thing about sheep is that sheep follow. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the primary reasons for us to hear God's voice is so that we can follow him. But I think a lot of people treat conversations with God in a more transactional way, that they view God more like a customer service representative, where it's like, okay, we don't really need to make small talk here. You can ask me how my day's going. I can do that, you know, the pleasantries, whatever. But the reason I'm here is because I've got a problem. Here's the problem. Give me some options on how we can fix this thing, and I will go my own way. And I'll check back in the next time I have a problem. And that's how a lot of people view it. But the framework that Jesus gave us on the relationship between us and him wasn't transactional, it was transformational. It wasn't customer service rep or support desk, it was shepherd and sheep. It was teacher and disciple or apprentice. And so for disciples, the reason why we want to hear God's voice is so that we can follow his leading, so that we can know how to live our life, whatever situations come up, whatever decisions need to be made, whatever we face, we need to know how do we live our life as Jesus would live it if he were in our shoes. That's the life of the disciple. The reason for communication is transformational, so that we can be changed into his likeness, so that we can know his direction, his way, his leading. It's not for the sake of just being transactional, like, God, here's the problem, just fix the problem in this compartment, and then in every other area of my life, I'm just going to go do my own thing. Okay? Anyone, like, you compartmentalize life quite a bit? Okay. Yeah, I do. Here's this compartment over here. Here's this compartment, whatever. Jesus, when it comes to like where I go when I die, yeah, you're the guy. Like, you've got me here. When it comes to like what I do on Tuesday, let me take care of that. Okay? And one of the reasons why you might not be hearing God is because for you, it may be, you know what? I'm okay leading my life by myself. And whether or not God speaks to me and gives me direction, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. Dallas Willard said this. He said, perhaps we do not hear the voice because we don't expect to hear it. Then again, perhaps we don't expect it because we know that we fully intend to run our lives on our own and have never seriously considered anything else. The voice of God would therefore be an unwelcome intrusion into our plans. Yeah, it's not just your toes I'm stepping on, it's my own, okay? Yeah, one of the reasons why we may be struggling to hear God's voice is because there may be just a part of our life that we've surrendered to Jesus, but Jesus isn't interested in a segment of your life. He's interested in the entirety of your life. It's not just a little, it's the whole thing that he's interested in. And so when we fully surrender to him, we can begin to hear his voice in clear ways. If you're not heeding his leading, then you'll miss out on his speaking. If you're not listening to follow, then you may miss out on what he wants to say to you. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look into different ways that God speaks. Today, I want to hit three mistaken views on how God speaks to us. Three mistaken views. And I'm not going to include, this is all mistaken views within the church, not outside the church. Several mistaken views outside the church, like anyone who hears God is a crazy person. All right? Like in news, media, you only hear people hearing from God whenever it's like, man bombs a building, said that God told him to do it. Or mom kills her three kids, she said that God told her to do it. Like that, like on the outside world, that's what you hear whenever you hear of people hearing from God. So I'm not going to address those. I'm going to look at three mistaken views within the church. First one is a message a minute, and these three come from Dallas Willard as well. So a message a minute. Our generation is being formed by feeds. Facebook feed, Instagram feed, Twitter feed, or X, whatever. Sorry, Elon. TikTok feed, whatever. Just feeds. And this, we would be foolish to think that this doesn't affect us, to think that this doesn't shape the way that we view or interact with the world. Because there is, and it's not that there's something inherently wrong with engaging in those things, but you just have to know how it shapes us, how it forms us. And whenever we are in the place where we are being inundated with words and images and just constant things, and we just keep moving through them, and we don't let any of them sink in. We're just kind of like, okay, that's interesting, whatever, move on to the next one. then it shapes us. And if we're not careful, we'll start to view God's word in a similar way. We'll start to handle the way that God speaks to us in a similar way. Okay, God, you want to speak to me about that? That's cool. Let's move on to the next thing. Oh, that's interesting. What about the next thing? And the way that Jesus talks about God's word, he doesn't describe it as a feed. He describes it as a seed. Seeds take time. Anything that God makes takes time to mature. It's only the things that we make that we expect to be instant. But anything God makes, he makes built in with time, seed, time, and harvest. It takes time for things to mature. And if you're just going, okay, God, that's cool, that's interesting, talk to me about something else, and you're not letting the seed of what he is speaking to you about take root, and you're just trying to move on to the next thing, then you're going to miss out on what God is really wanting to cultivate in your life with what he's talking to you about. God isn't interested in programming robots. He's interested in raising sons and daughters. Okay, Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The second mistaken view, it's all in the Bible. Now listen, the Bible is full of great instruction. Like, there are several things that you don't have to spend days praying and fasting about on what God's will is or what God's heart is, what he's saying to you. Like, you don't have to spend days fasting and praying about whether or not it's okay for you to kill your neighbor who annoys you really badly, or whether or not to engage in illicit sexual activity, or whether or not it's okay to swindle someone or to worship an idol, or the list goes on and on. Like, there are things that God has given us clear instructions on. And then also in the scriptures, we see a lot of great guiding principles that we know the parameters and we know God's general will, but then there are also specific things that we walk through in life. You know, whether or not to take this job or leave this job, or whether or not to engage in this, pursue this relationship or step out of this relationship. Like, there are things, specifics that we face in life that God may actually want to speak to you about. He may want to give you wisdom and guidance on those things. See, I think a lot of people think that whenever the Holy Scriptures were done being written, the Holy Spirit was done speaking. And that's not the case. Like, God is still speaking. I want to show you this. John 16:12-13. Jesus speaking, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I think often, whenever we're not hearing God on something, like, it may actually be his mercy of, listen, I could tell you right now, you know, the prayers of like, God, just tell me the next 10 years of my life. God may be like, yeah, I could do that, but you can't bear it now. Like, him giving you step by step instead of the next 20 years, it's probably for the better so that it doesn't crush us. Or so that we don't freak out and worry about it. He said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Here Jesus is saying, and in the same breath, he said, listen, it's actually better for you that I go so that the Spirit can come. In Jesus' mind, it was more beneficial for his disciples to have the Spirit of God on the inside of them than it was for them to have Jesus around them, which is an incredible claim. And he's saying, it's actually for your benefit so that the Helper can come. And what does the Holy Spirit do when he speaks to us? What does he speak to us about? He guides us into truth. The Spirit and the Scriptures are on the same team. They're on the same team. They're both guiding us in the direction of truth. And so God will speak to us in specific areas of our life. The third mistaken view is whatever comes is God's will. If you wish to know what God wants you to do, but you hold the view that anything that happens, everything that happens is because God wanted it to happen, then there's really no point in asking God, hey, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Because if you think that everything plays out the way it does because that's the way that God wanted it, then it's going to happen that way anyway. So why ask God for direction on it? This is it doesn't take a genius to look around the world and go, you know, I think that there are things happening in this earth that actually God is not happy about. Like, there's a lot of damage. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of pain inflicted. There's a lot of wrong done that is not part of God's plan or part of his heart for people. But yet it still happens because there are multiple wills at play. God has a will. He has a desire. He desires for certain things to be done certain ways. This is why Jesus, in the prayer that he teaches his disciples, says, pray like this. Pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why, if it was an automatic thing, would Jesus tell his disciples to pray like that? No. There are things happening in the earth that aren't part of God's will. And he wants us to pray, to stand in the gap, to contend, to become the kinds of people that bring heaven to earth, to bring God's will into relationships, into communities, all of these different things. God has a will. Humans have a will, which is, you know, part of the problem, a big part of the problem. Like, it'd be a lot easier if that wasn't the case, but here we are messing things up. Okay, so humans have a will, and then also the enemy has a will. Like, Satan, the stranger, the thief, all of the different ways that you can describe, the enemy also has a will at work here. And Jesus, in the same breath as him as shepherd and us as sheep, tells us the objective, the will of the enemy. He says this in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the enemy's will. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and bring about destruction. And he said this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is why it's so important for us as the church to know how to hear our shepherd's voice and to be able to discern the difference between the shepherd and the stranger. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice, but the voice of a shepherd they won't follow. We have to be able to discern what out there is being said that is coming from a place of the good shepherd, and what is the enemy at work, and discern that difference. Because, man, there are a lot of people dealing with deception. I mean, we're facing serious situations. And the church, the most important thing for the church is to be able to hear what God is saying. What is God saying? What does his word say? Who cares what my thoughts are? Who cares what my opinion is? Like, what does God's word say? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's his gift to you. We lay our lives down and surrender to his voice. That's our gift back to him. We get the better end of this deal, okay? But over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at all of the different ways that God speaks to us through the scriptures, through Jesus, through prophecy, visions, and dreams, through circumstances, through our conscience, all of these different ways. We probably won't be able to hit them all, but we'll start digging into the ways that God speaks that we can hear him, because hearing God is your birthright. It's something not that you have to strive for, not something that you achieve once you hit a certain amount of days in a row that you've read the Bible, okay? It's something that's already part of your nature. We just have to heed his leading. Listen, tune out the noise so that we can hear the voice of the good shepherd and follow his path for our life. Amen?